series in the book of Philippians titled All for Jesus. And so this week, we're actually going to take a pause from that book as Pastor Patrick's really, really excited next week to dive into part two of where we were last week, beginning in chapter three. So next week's a part two of where we were last week. And this morning, we get to do just a one-off independent message and take, a brief pause and look at another passage of Scripture. And so I was thinking through and praying through what to speak on this Sunday and what we would dive into this morning. And so the passage that God put on my heart comes from the book of Romans. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. If you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. And so there's a bit of a connection here in Romans chapter 6 to where we've been in the book of Philippians, right? Like, go figure, the word of God connects with one another in different passages. I love when it does that. But anyway, like, a lot of what we've talked about in Philippians chapter 2, when it comes to sanctification, the sanctification process in the life of a believer, that we are set apart for Christ and for his purposes. And so if we are to be about his purposes, then that means we're not about our own, right? We better be focused and intentional in how we live this Christian life, living a life that is committed to him and committed to continual growth in him as well, as a part of that journey in our walk with the Lord. And so to give some context to our passage this morning, in chapter 6, the previous chapter, chapter 5, Paul talks about justification. So justification for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Romans 5:9 says that those who believe in Jesus are justified by his blood, justified by the blood of Jesus that was shed for you, which saves us from the wrath of God. Amen. We are justified. We are made right with a holy God by the blood of Jesus that was shed. So praise God for that. That's where Paul was in chapter 5. Now, coming out of this truth into chapter 6, the reality that believers stand before a holy God as sinners who have been made right by the blood of Jesus. In chapter 6, Paul gets very, very specific as to who we are in Christ now as a result of that and what it means for the life that we live today. Like, in the here and now, right now. So we're made right with God, and yet I still live in this earth. I still live on this planet where there's a lot of sin in this world. How can I live in that? And so Paul gets very specific regarding the life of a believer as it relates to sin, this very same sin that Jesus saved us from. And so in the passage we're going to look at this morning, we're going to identify two major truths. One is what it means to be dead to sin, and the other, what it means to be made alive to God. Dead to sin and alive to God, because that's what God desires, right? That's what's in his kingdom. It's not that we're wanted dead or alive, right? It's that we're wanted dead and alive. And that's what these 14 verses that we're going to look at this morning talk about. You'll notice that so much so that in these 14 verses, the word death or died is used a total of 14 times, and the word life or lived is used a total of 7 times. And so the theme that Paul's getting at here is pretty clear in the opening of chapter 6. Dead to sin and alive to God. And so we're going to jump in. We're going to read the whole passage, Romans 6, 1 through 14. And here is what it says. It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." Verse 7, "For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, 14 verses. A lot there. A lot of dead to sin and alive to God talk in there, right? That's the reality for us as believers in Jesus Christ. Because of what he has done for you, you are now dead to sin and alive to God. And you might have noticed, if you jump all the way back up, we're going to break this down, so don't worry. We read a lot. But back up to verse 1, you may have noticed that Paul begins this passage with a question. A rhetorical question that comes from the end of chapter 5 as it relates to this sin and grace of God. Okay, so look what it says in Romans 5. If you look back up, 20 and 21, it says this. It says, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is good news this morning. That is good news, that grace abounded all the more. Where sin was, grace was greater. Right? God's grace is sufficient for you, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Meaning that no matter what you've done, no matter what sins you've committed, his grace is greater. Amen? Amen. So the good news comes in this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise that we have. If we confess our sins before a holy, perfect, blameless God, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us from that sin. Jesus makes us right with God. And so Paul, again, he asks this rhetorical question in chapter 6, and he answers it in verse 2. Those who are dead to sin shall no longer live in it. Those who are dead to sin should no longer live in it. And yet again, we're in this world full of sin, full of temptation, full of different avenues now to sin than ever before. We live in this world, but Paul calls us, we are called to no longer live in that sin. And again, I think it's interesting that Paul asked this question in the first place, because the answer, right, the church answer that we would all give to that is pretty obvious. Are we to continue in sin? No. So why does he continue with the rest of the passage? If like we got it fully, why does he continue anyway? Right, I think we need to really come to the realization in our Christian life that as Christians, it's not just because God's grace is greater, right? It doesn't mean that it's just a license to sin and live according to our own desire. God's grace isn't just a license for us to sin. That's Paul's entire point here. Just because God's grace is so much more, is so much greater than any sin that we could commit, it doesn't mean that we should just continue to walk in sin. Why? Because we are dead to sin. That's what he's establishing, or further establishing and telling the truth in these verses. You know, and even as I read that this week, I was reminded of some things in my life. And, you know, I'm actually saddened, you know, that I've witnessed that lived out or heard someone say something along the lines of, well, I'm saved, right? No matter what, doesn't matter. You know, I'm saved, once saved, always saved. I can just do whatever I want to do. I can live however I want to live. God's got me. That's a pretty tough place to be, right? We use this God's grace as a license to sin and say, he just wants me to be happy, and whatever makes me happy, whether it's sin or not, it doesn't matter because I'm in Christ. And I can live according to my own desire in that. I'm okay in this sin or that sin. Like, literally, people saying that. Saying that I'm okay, saying that it doesn't matter. Right? And even in my own life, I've been at a place myself too where I've had a really, really poor understanding of God's grace and my sin. I've had a poor understanding of what my life in Christ, as a believer in Jesus, myself, a poor understanding of what it means, what it looks like, what my life is supposed to look like now. In Christ. And so as a result of having a poor understanding of that, I struggled. And personally, even reading this week, I praise God that I now have a much more better and biblical understanding of God's grace and how it's applied to my life and the life that I am called to live now. Believers are dead to sin and alive to God. At the moment of our salvation, we died to sin, meaning it lost its power over us. And yet at the same time, it continues its war against us. So Christ on the inside, his Holy Spirit resides in us. He's at work in us, and yet sin is still operating all around us from the outside through the temptations that we may face in this world. And again, what Paul wants us to get is that death was defeated in Christ. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we have ceased to be under the power of sin. Verse 6 says that sin is done away with. It's done. It's defeated. And then in verses 3 and 4, we see Paul use an illustration of baptism to further explain this. This picture of what baptism is, it can help us understand more deeply what it means to die to sin. And even as Pastor mentioned just a moment ago, that we got to celebrate baptism last week at our church picnic. And baptism is an outward profession of an inward faith, that I'm outwardly professing about the transformation that has taken place in my life as I have believed in what Jesus has done for me. I believed that he saved me from my sin. And so in baptism, we get a picture of just how we are united with Christ. Our old self is buried with him in his death, and our new self is raised to walk in newness of life. We are free from our sin. And so Paul's point here, at the moment of our salvation, when we go from death to life, Jesus saves us, meaning that our sin is buried with him in his death. It is no longer ours. Remember the verse, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are made alive to God and dead to sin. So Paul elaborates some more on this truth in Romans 6, 6 and 7, right? So he says this, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Our old self is crucified with Christ. We are united with Christ. Our old self, which was under the bondage of sin, it is done away with when we give our life to Jesus, right? So Genesis records the fall of man. We are born into sin. Our sinful nature, due to the fall of man, again, we received that from Adam, and sin entered the world. And so by our very nature, we are under sin. We enter this world where sin is in control of our lives. But that's our old self. In Adam, we're enslaved to sin, and yet a new life in Christ, we are set free from that sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All of the above. All right, and so the reason that Paul goes here, I think, and devotes this time, devotes this passage to talk about sin, something that we are already dead to, realize that. So if we're already dead to it, why does he have to continue talking about it? It's because although sin should be rendered powerless in our lives, we still battle with it due to the flesh that we are in, due to this world that we live in. And so Paul's entire point, again, is that you are in Christ, you're no longer a prisoner to that. No longer does sin have the power, and so we should not let it have control. Right? If it is deemed powerless in us because the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ resides in us, then why do we give in? Why do we let it have? Why do we let sin have control if it's already dead? You know, I think with that in mind, in regard to this entire passage, there's a couple of points of application for us. And what I mean by that is, even as we continue to break down the rest of these verses, here's what we need to keep in mind. So if one, for believers, like Christ took our sin on the cross so that we can be free from the bondage of sin. We are made alive to God, dead to sin. And so in the present day, live like it. Live like you've been freed from that sin. Live like his Spirit resides in you, because it does. That you no longer carry the weight of that sin, that carry the weight of that bondage. We continue to grow in Christ as we continue to live in this world, even though temptation is all around. Right? We realize this truth that we are dead to sin. And so as a result, even when it comes to dealing with sin, dealing with things in our own lives, we need to do so in a healthy way where we identify it, we repent from it, we turn from our sin. because it's no longer our identity anymore. Our identity is now in Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says that therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So sin that so easily entangles us. And that's the truth. I don't think anyone in here would find it hard to believe that sin easily entangles us. But Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says that we have a race to run. Jesus endured the cross for me so that I may walk in the freedom of knowing him, no longer a slave to my sin, but free in Christ. And it doesn't matter if you have been a believer for 30 years or 40 years or 2 months. It doesn't matter. You have a race still to run in Christ during your time on this earth. So secondly, if you're here or you're watching online and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, his word is very clear that you're still a slave to that sin. You still identify with that old self, which is not yet free in Christ. But the good news is today you can be free in Christ. Today can be the day of salvation. Today you too can be made dead to sin and alive to God. And all you have to do is believe in what he's done for you. All you have to do is believe in this free gift of salvation that is offered to you. Believe that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and God sent Jesus into this world as a perfect, sinless sacrifice to be that Savior for you. He took your place on the cross, took your punishment that you deserve, a death that you deserve to die. And he rose again on the third day, and he conquered sin, he conquered death, so that you can be free from your sin. That's the reality for every believer, and that's good news. And if you want to learn more about that or talk more about that, come see me after service. Talk with our prayer partners after service. They would love to tell you more about what Jesus has done for you and how you can be made dead to sin and alive to God. And again, we've already read these verses, but verses 8 through 10, I just love where Paul goes here and talks about what Jesus has done and the significance of that. He says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So he died to sin once for all. And the good news again is that he didn't stay dead. Right? He was raised from the dead and now reigns in glory forever and ever. One commentator says this, and I just really like the way they said it. It said, for a brief time, death as the execution of sin held the Savior, but not for long. But not for long. And Paul includes this in here, this significant thing that Christ has done for us, that he reigns with all power over sin and darkness, because we can have full confidence in that as believers in him. Right, full confidence that the captain of my salvation, the author and perfecter of my faith, he will never, it says never again, come under the power of sin and darkness. He reigns over it. That's my Savior, that's my God, and he reigns over it, over the sin, over the darkness. And he did it for me, and he did it for you. 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. He died for you. And so the example of Jesus is one for believers to follow, that we can have this expectation of this future that we get to spend with Christ and a motivation for the life that we live now in the present day. Why? Because Jesus conquered sin, he conquered death, and by believing in him, we are free from our sin. We are what? Dead to sin and alive to God. And then what Paul does in these last few verses of our passage that we've already read again, but we see are these implications for the life of the believer in verses 11 through 14. Implications for the life of the believer. Let's look at those last few verses again. So Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Right? So there's a command. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. And again, that's something that's pretty easy for us to gather together here in church on a Sunday morning and get on board with that. But the challenge comes in verse 12. Therefore, as a result of that, do not let sin reign. Do not let sin reign. Now, again, I don't think it's any secret to anyone in here that sin is still prevalent in this world. Right? Even though as believers, we've been made right with God, but sin still exists. And the battle with sin, even for us as believers, is an ongoing battle. Right? So Paul's very clear. Like, sin has been reigning, obviously, in your life as a sinner, and yet you have a job to no longer let it reign in your life. And God gives you the Holy Spirit as a believer in Jesus Christ to help you with that. We've been brought from death to life, which means that we've been transferred from this realm of sin and darkness to righteousness in the kingdom of light, where we serve Him. We don't serve our wicked desires, our flesh, anymore. In Christ, part of our sanctification, part of our living according to what He would have for us, once we've been made right with Him, is that it's going to take some work, right? That's one of the implications of this life, this newness of life that we can walk in, is it's going to take some effort on our part to make this happen, to no longer let sin reign. It's going to take some intentionality so that we can live in the light, no longer belonging to that which stems from the darkness. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 5, verse 8. It says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And personally, I like that verse just because it's very simple, right? Some passages are a little difficult, but that one's pretty simple and easy to understand. You were darkness. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you were formerly darkness. Now you are light. Live in that. Pretty simple. You were darkness, now you are light. Live in that. Stay here. Walk in the light because you are a child of light now. Problem is, we can't walk in the light if we don't know what the difference between light and darkness is. Right? If we're gonna live, or one commentator says this: when we allow the grace of God that has saved us to guide us in our choices, we end the mastery of sin and enter the life centered on the Lordship of Christ. Then we finally start to live. So when we submit our life to Christ and we continue in obedience to walk according to what He would have for us in Christ, then we finally start to live. And so that means if we're going to live the life that Christ has called us to, then we must deal with sin in our own lives. We must overcome, realizing that we're no longer slaves to it, understanding who Christ is and what He's done for us, and now that we are called to walk in His freedom. Right? Like, this is a beautiful passage, Romans chapter 6. It's a beautiful thing. Like, it's an awesome passage because it's a reminder that we are free in Christ, no longer slaves, and that we're able to enjoy this new life fully, and by fully giving ourselves over to Christ. That's how we can do it. Right? By fully committing to Christ and committing to living for Him, that's how we can give ourselves over fully to this new life. It's a beautiful thing that we serve a God who loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. That if we believe, not only are we saved again, but His Holy Spirit resides in us as we live out our Christian life. That we don't have to do it alone. That He doesn't leave us clueless. Like, it's He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you as a believer in Jesus. Use it, right? It's a beautiful thing. And it's a beautiful passage, again, not only in that regard, but also in the fact that it can bring us to conviction. And I love Paul. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. And one of the implications of being made dead to sin and alive to God is that we are commanded here, again, do not let sin reign anymore. It's back to Hebrews 12. Lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We are so easily entangled by sin. But the reality is, the church, like, we have a race to run. Hebrews 12. We have a race to run. And we don't run that race the way that we're supposed to if we're entangled by sin. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus, then they're not fixed on our sin. But the opposite of that is also true. If our eyes are fixed on our sin, they're not fixed on Jesus. So last month, we got to go to youth camp. I've told you about it a couple times, some of you. And it was just a great week. But the pastor there that week dealt a lot with similar passage. Hebrews 12 was kind of our theme. And some of the stuff that he shared with us was so impactful. I'm going to share it with you. All right? So not mine, but his. And Pastor Jay shared with us something, that one statement that I think his dad shared with him quite often when he was younger. And it was this in regard to sin. It says, sin will never make you a better person. It will always destroy your life. Sin will never make you a better person. It will always destroy your life. That is not a popular statement, I don't think, in the world that we live in regard to sin, because sin is attractive to us. Sin's something that we desire and that we go after it, whatever it is. If it makes me happy, I'm going to do it. But sin will always destroy. And so the reality in the life of a believer is that it will always destroy, it will always alter, it will always mess with that fellowship that we have with God. Something else that Pastor Jay also shared, and I shared this with our youth a couple times even since then, he made three statements that helped me personally make sense of sin and grace and all of this. And so I'm going to share that with you as well. One is that when we sin, as a believer in Jesus Christ, when we sin, the relationship that we have with God is not altered. Okay, it doesn't change. The relationship we have with God, like, thanks to God's amazing grace, which we're going to sing here in just a moment, thanks to that, I still have a relationship with God even when I sin. Okay? That doesn't change. Secondly, our position is not altered. The position I have before God, the relationship and position I have before God, my status as a child of God, as a daughter or son of the one true King, that does not change. No matter what, I am secure in that. Praise Jesus. Right? Pastor Jay, even to further explain this connection, he used the relationship he has with his daughter. Right? He said, no matter what, she will always be my daughter. The relationship doesn't change. The position doesn't change. That's the relationship and position that she has. And that's the relationship and position that we have in Christ if we are a believer in him. So the relationship is not altered. The position is not altered. But here's the third point he made. The friendship is broken. All right, and so whatever word you want to put there to help you understand, maybe friendship, you don't get that. But here's the point. Some of us, when it comes to sin in our life, we sit at 1 and 2. Relationship is not broken. Position is not broken. And so who cares? My status before God doesn't change as a believer in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to live however I want to live. I'm going to do whatever I want to do because it doesn't change. And some of us only stay there when it comes to sin in our lives. We don't do anything else with this third one and realize that friendship or fellowship that we have with God when we sin is altered. It's changed. It's broken. It's broken. It's disturbed. When we sin, we can't act like nothing changes. We can't act like it doesn't matter. We can't act like it doesn't have an impact on the relationship we have with God, because it does. The friendship, that third level of connection, of fellowship, is broken. It's disrupted. And so Paul's entire message here in our passage is that Jesus died for that sin when you gave your life to him. It is no longer yours. It's no longer yours to carry. It's no longer your burden. It is with him buried in Christ. So don't live in it anymore. So get rid of it. You're dead to sin. It's no longer yours to carry. You are his now. And so this morning, what can I do to further live in that truth in my life? I gave my life to Jesus. How can I continue to live in this? To live a life where I'm dead to sin and alive to God, so much so that in everything that I do, I realize that fact and I apply that in my life. What sin is keeping me from running the race with endurance? Hebrews 12, it says to run the race with endurance and get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us, because Jesus did it for you. He took a death and a punishment on the cross for you, to save you from your sin. And if you believe in that, you will be saved. What is keeping me from running the race with endurance the way that God has called me to run? And would we nail it to the cross? Would we seek to continue, seek out this continual growth in the relationship I have with Jesus, so that I may grow in him and so that I may live out even our mission here at Grace of exalting Christ and pointing others to him in everything that we do? Because the truth is, we cannot live out that statement in the way that we should if we're so easily entangled by sin. Dead to sin and alive to God. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. And God, a heavy word this morning, but a beautiful passage. God, this is a beautiful reminder of who you are and what you've done for us. God, that you sent Jesus to save us from our sins so that we may be dead to that sin if we believe in what you've done, and that we may be alive to you, a child of light, no longer of the darkness. But God, the reality is that even as believers in you this morning, we still are in this world, and so there is still sin. There is still struggle. But God, help us and help us to be reminded of this passage. Help us to be reminded of the fact that that sin is no longer ours. And that God, when we do sin, that the relationship we have with you does not change thanks to your grace. The position that we have before you does not change thanks to your grace. But God, the everyday fellowship, the friendship that we have with you when we sin is altered. It's changed, it's broken, it's hurt, it's hindered. God, so help us, each and every single one of us, to identify sins in our lives that keep us from you, that keep us from running the race with endurance, the race that you have called us to. God, you have called each and every single one of us to run this race as a believer in Jesus Christ with a mindset of to exalt you and point others to you in everything that we do. God, help us to do that. Help us to be real before you and identify what it is that's a hindrance to me growing in you and living out what I'm called to. God, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.